Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 16. Lord Parashuram destroys the ruling class. This is text number 24. Svadahan Jamadagni Tu Labdva Samgana Lakshanam Rishnam Mandale Sa Abud Saptama Ramapunjitaha Svadehan Janmadagnistu Ladva Samyanam Lakshanam Rishina Mandale Sobut Saptamo Rama Punjitaha Sadehan Jagmadagnistu Labdva Samyana Lakshanam Shinam Mandale Sobut Saptamo Rama Punjitaha Svadeham Jagadamnistu Labdva Samgyanam Lakshanam Rishina Mandale Sobut Saptamo Rama Punjitaha. Someone else, please. Svadehan Jamadagnistu
please.
Svadehan Jagmadagnistu
Ladva
Aksanam Sinam Nandi Sain Sobut Saptamo Ramarajita Samitam Jenny Dandestu Love them Lakshanam
Vishnam
Svadeham, his own body. Jamindagni, the great sage Jamindagni. Two, but Labdva, regaining. Samgyana Lakshanam, showing full symptoms of life, knowledge and remembrance. Rishinam, of the great rishis. Mandale, in the group of the seven stars. Sa, he, Jagandavni. Abut, later became. Saptama, the seventh. Ramapunjita, because of being worshipped by Lord Parashuram. Translation, thus Jagandagni, being worshipped by Parashuram, was brought back to life with full remembrance. And he became one of the seven sages in the group of seven stars. Purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The seven stars revolving around the pole star at the zenith are called, thank you, Saptarshi Mandala. One of these seven stars, which form the topmost part of our planetary system, reside seven sages. Thank you. Kashyapa, Atri, Vishishta, Vishramitra, Gotama, Jamindagni, and Bharadvaj. These seven stars are seen every night, and they each make a complete orbit around the pole star within 24 hours. Along with these seven stars, all the other stars also orbit from east to west. The upper portion of the universe is called the north. The lower portion is called the south. Even in our ordinary dealings, while studying a map, we regard the upper portion of the map as north. Om Gyana Tsamanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umlitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So when I was reading this verse, I was imagining how amazing is Krishna. How wonderful is Krishna. We know there's that one chapter in the Krishna book called Wonderful Krishna. So imagine being out at night, and they're even there during the day, we just can't see it. But you can imagine being out at night and looking up, and although it's a little hard to see because of so much lights here in the city, but you can see the stars, you can see the moon. What to speak of if you go somewhere where there's not a lot of lights, you're out in the country, and you look up, you see thousands and thousands and thousands of stars. You see planets. You see the moon. What to speak of right now, if we look outside, there's so much light. So the sun. So just think about that for a second. This is all coming from somewhere. It's just not something that manifests itself one day by someone. And I don't want to get into a scientific class here, but we know that everything comes from something. Life comes from life. So everything comes from somewhere. There's a creator. Again, it doesn't happen by chance. And that creator is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna. There's the verse in Bhagavad Gita, which I know that you've heard me quote before. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartate, iti matva bhajante mam, buddha bhava samanvitaha. Aham, I. So Krishna is speaking here. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything, sarvam, everything, emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So worshiping the Supreme, we do that every day. We're chanting Hare Krishna. We're glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This morning we had very nice kirtan, starting with Mangal Artik. Very ecstatic Mangal Artik. Guru Puja, Tulsi Puja. Damodarastika prayers. Think about what we're doing. Sometimes I forget and just kind of take it as another, you know, just something we do every day. But try to go a little deep and think about what it is we're actually doing. We are worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as I've said before, and someone asked me to say this, so I will do this. It all starts with right here. Prabhus, this is a bead bag. So remember, it all starts right here. Chanting of 16 rounds every day. But in chanting 16 rounds every day, it's important that we work on chanting the quality of our 16 rounds. And by the quality, we will get amazing realizations. New things in life will happen. Our minds will become more peaceful. We will become more happy. Krishna will make amazing things happen in our lives. So this is the person who has created all these planets, and as is spoken here in the purport, these different stars that we see every night. What I was thinking to do is see if there was any questions on this purport, and with the permission, I would like to read on a couple of translations and then read another verse. If we run out of, but if we can have a discussion here, then I won't continue, and we'll just use up the time with discussion. I know my last class, there were several devotees approached me and said they really, really liked the discussion. So maybe we can have a discussion. If someone can get the microphone, we'll see how this goes. So Prabhu, if you can just wait for the microphone to come, please. All right, Prabhu, if you want to go ahead and say, just go ahead. Oh, here it comes now. Jai, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Jai.
I'm just wondering about what these seven personalities are doing, because we know that on the pole star is the residence of Dhruva Maharaj. I'm just wondering, does anybody know what these personalities are doing? Kashapa, Atri, Vashishta. When they're orbiting the sun, what do they do? What is their daily program?
I'd like someone to answer that.
Yeah, if someone knows. Anyone has any?
Someone in the back row? Amal Bhakta Maharaj will answer the question.
Thanks for a nice class, Prabhu. Appreciate that. Before I answer it, I just want to be sure I heard the question correctly. Is it, why are they circling the pole star? Or what are they doing? I can tell you why they're circling, but I can't tell you what they're doing. It's for the pole star happens to be the localized region of Chiradakshaya Vishnu. That's where Shvetadvika is. That is where Chiradakshaya Vishnu resides. So, therefore, going around the pole star is going around the Supreme Lord because that's where he's situated. Okay. Now, what they're doing, I would assume that they're praying, they're glorifying him, honoring him, bowing down to him, applauding him, and every other worshipful type of act that sages do in appreciation of the beloved Lord Vishnu.
Jai. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Someone else have a comment or a question, please? Okay, so I'm going to go on then. This will be text number 25. I'll just read the English. My dear King Parikshit, in the... Okay, Prabhu. Okay, there's another question. Can we have that microphone back, please? We may not have to go on.
It says that the other stars are orbiting, they're going from east to west. What exactly are the stars? Because we look up at night and we see sparkling things, but what are they? What are the stars? We see that here the stars are rishis. So does that mean all stars are rishis, or what are the stars? Does anyone know?
Well, the stars are different planets. We know that, like, the North Star is Dhruvaloka. So there's different stars. We see there's different planets, Mars and Venus. At least that's what the material scientists call them. But I'm not so well-versed on, like, what... I'm not a scientist, so I'm not really sure what all the different stars are, because... There are stars up there that we can't see. There's galaxies. There's so much that Krishna has created. Mm-hmm. But, you know, much more than that, I don't know. I know Sataputra Prabhu wrote a lot of very interesting writings on the scientific aspect of all of this.
Are all planets... personalities? That's my question. Maybe. Anybody know?
Prabhu, do you have any... Do you have anything you can add to this, Prabhu?
There's a presiding ruler of every single planet. Prabhupada makes that clear. He says, just like every country has a government and has a leader, every single planet has a leader, just like Mother Bhumi is the leader of this planet. So you can call the Earth Bhumi Loka. Hmm. So every single star, every single planet has a leader, and you can call that star by that person's name. We may not know right now the name of every single leader of every single planet out there, but we take it for granted based on the Shastra that every single planet has a leader. Just like every country has a government with a leader. And then we can call that planet by that leader's name. This planet is known as Earth, but it's also known through the Shastra as Bhumi Loka, because Mother Bhumi is the presiding president of this planet.
Jai. Okay, any other additions on that? My dear King Parikshit, in the next Manvantara, the lotus-like personality of Godhead, Lord Parashuram, the son of Jamadagni, will be a great propounder of Vedic knowledge. In other words, he will be one of the seven sages. Text number 26. Lord Parashuram still lives as an intelligent Brahmana in the mountainous country known as Mahendra. Completely satisfied, having given up all the weapons of a Kshatriya, he is always worshipped, adored, and offered prayers for his exalted character and activities by such celestial beings as the Siddhas, Charnas, and the Gandharvas. In text number 27, in this way, the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord, and the Supreme Controller descended as an incarnation in the Bhrigu dynasty and released the universe from the burden of undesirable kings by killing them many times. Text number 28. Gaudair Abun Mahateja Samida Iva Pavakaha Tapasa Shatram Utrijya Yolebe Brahma Varchasam. Vishwamitra, the son of Maharaj Gaudi, was as powerful as the flames of fire. From the position of the Kshatriya, he achieved the position of a powerful Brahmin by undergoing penance and austerities. Purport. Now, having narrated the history of Lord Parashuram, Sukadeva Goswami begins the history of Vishwamitra. From the history of Parashuram, we can understand that although Parashuram belonged to the Brahminical group, he circumstantially had to work as a Kshatriya. Later, after finishing his work as a Kshatriya, he again became a Brahmana and returned to Mahendra Parvata. Similarly, we can see that although Vishwamitra was born in a Kshatriya family, by austerities and penance, he achieved the position of a Brahmin. These histories confirm that the statements in Shastra and that a Brahmin may become a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya may become a Brahmin or a Vaishya, and a Vaishya may become a Brahmin by achieving the required qualities. One's status does not depend upon birth, as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35 by Narada, Yasya Yal Lakshanam Proktam Pumso Varna Bivyajakam Yad Adyatrapi Duristyeta Tat Tenaiva Vinir Dishet. If one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. To know who is a Brahmin and who is a Kshatriya, one must consider a man's quality and work. If all of the unqualified Shudras become so-called Brahmins and Kshatriyas, and social order will be impossible to maintain. Thus, there will be discrepancies. Human society will turn into a society of animals, and the situation all over the world will be hellish. So this is a verse that probably we could speak on at length during a Bhagavatam class. But what comes to mind is that Kaloshudra Sambhava, everyone in this age is born Shudra. However, despite our birth and where we came from, the future is very bright. We can all become higher quality individuals. Now, in this particular society, Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish a society of Brahmins. We know that there's that verse in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, verse number 61. Mm, No, that's not it. What is that verse? It's on the door in the back in the Pujari room, and it has the qualities of a Brahmin. Oh, 8, what is it? 1842, okay. Brahmo, Dhamma, Tapasocham, Shantir, Arjavam, Avicha, Ganam, Viganam, Astikam, Brahma, Karma, Swabhavajam. So these are the different qualities by which Brahmins work. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmins work. So we're meant to perform austerities. Life is meant to perform austerities. When we wake up in the morning, 3:30, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, okay, somewhere around there, hopefully we got a good night's rest the night before, and we can offer our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, and then we can get up and we can go about our business. But sometimes it's very difficult, right? Like on a Sunday night when we've cleaned up after a festival and we don't take rest until after 11 o'clock, 11:30, and then time to get up at 4 o'clock. It's a bit of a challenge. But this is our austerity. Life is meant to perform austerities. And without performing austerities, without putting ourselves in an uncomfortable situation, there's no possibility of making spiritual advancement. Let's take our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. Look at the austerities that he performed to establish Krishna consciousness in the West. And we'll take it from the point when he left India to come here on the Jaladuta, and then coming here and having to live in situations that were very difficult, and then living with people on the Bowery, and then due to drugs, the person went crazy and Srila Prabhupada had to leave, and then coming down those steps and looking left. Whoops, that's right. You're left. Looking left, looking right, okay? Having to deal with the cold weather. But he completely was dependent upon Lord Krishna for everything. Now we have these nice warm, this is a nice warm temple room we have. Even though it's cold in the morning, we say, oh, it's cold out. Or we get up and it's chilly in the house. But still, we have to get up. We have to take bath. It even says that in the month March, one should take cold shower. Or in the summer, in July, this Bhagavad Gita, one should, go into the kitchen and cook in the heat. And so we know it gets very hot in the kitchen. But still, we have our duties to perform, and it's our life is meant to perform austerities. Now, we come in here, we can the temple room is warm. We even can sit in front of the vents where the heat's coming out. Really, we have nothing to complain about. We have very nice prasadam. But still, going out and preaching Krishna consciousness. Performing austerity in the way of getting up in the morning, coming to the temple. Our minds sometimes give us so much trouble. Our minds are like screaming children. They just scream so loud. And an illusion is there. The mind is saying so many things. Sometimes it appears that something is real, but it's not. We're just imagining or we're speculating about something in life, and it really affects us. But we have this knowledge, it's right here, that we can plug into it every day, the hearing, chanting, the Shravanam, the Kirtanam, the Vishnu Smaranam, the Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Every day we can plug in, and we have this philosophy that will help us to destroy at the root that nescience, Sya Krishna Namachari Dasi Tapta Vidya. So, again, the chanting of Hare Krishna, the hearing of the philosophy, the attending of the program. I repeat this a lot, but that's the most vital. That is the most important aspect of our lives, and everything should revolve around that. As far as understanding each of all the different planets and what's there, and this is all important as well, because Srila Prabhupada wouldn't have written this. But just kind of keeping it back to basics, the hearing and the chanting, that's the main thing that we should be doing every day. And from there, everything else will come. So are there any comments or questions on any of the topics that we spoke about here in the second verse? Archita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Jai.
I had a class here yesterday from Azusa Pacific University.
Say that again, please.
I had a class visit yesterday from Azusa Pacific University.
Yes, I saw
that. And the professor was a very interesting character, born in Argentina from Italian lineage. But he spent a lot of time in India. And so he's kind of representing the phenomenon that you find nowadays of people who have some idea of India and Varnashram and like that. And he actually wrote an extensive study on the different castes and gotras and stuff like that. My point is, one obvious question that could arise from this second purport that you read from a person like that, or even people who are not quite as knowledgeable, is, it seems that Varnashram is kind of a fluid situation. Vaishyas can become Kshatriyas, Brahmanas can become Kshatriyas. It seems like... But on the one hand, it's presented as Chaturvarnamayashishtam. It seems that you're actually born with a particular inclination that fits into one of those four Varnas. And then the ashram is for spiritual elevation. So it seems kind of contradictory that on the one hand, Krishna is saying that I've created this system of Chaturvarnam. And it seems that Prabhupada even said that even in the West you have it there. There are intellectuals, there are administrators, there are workers. You can't get rid of it, even if you don't strictly follow it. It's there. But on the other hand, it seems that it's kind of a fluid situation. You're born as a Kshatriya, like Vishwamitra. You can by austerity become a Brahmana. Somebody from Vaishya can go up, somebody can go down. So I just wondered if you could comment on that a bit.
Well, of course, what good can repression accomplish? So we all have our particular nature, so we're engaged according to our nature. But within Krishna consciousness, and again, this is the 50% of Srila Prabhupada's movement that has not, that Prabhupada said 50% of his work was Varnashram. And this is something that, I've heard different talks about and sat in on different meetings about, and this is something that... we could go on and speak at length about. The important thing within Krishna consciousness is we all have our we definitely have different natures. And someone could say, well, worshiping the deities, that's brahminical. Someone could say, working in the, taking out garbage and cleaning the dumpsters and like that, that could be considered like a shudra activity. It's within Krishna consciousness, though. Ultimately, it's not so important what it is that we're doing, because all of it is transcendental. Whether we're taking out the garbage, whether we're worshiping the deities, offering artik, whether we're going out and we're preaching, whether we're administrators, Kshatriyas, we're administrators, or we're Vaishyas, we're doing business. It seems that there's always a kind of a crisscross of different, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Sometimes we do that which could be work of a Shudra, sometimes that which is work of a Brahmin, sometimes that of a Kshatriya, sometimes we act as a Vaishya. So, but within Krishna consciousness, you know, the main thing is this is devotional service. So, I think it's important to understand that. And as you said, somebody who's not chanting 16 rounds, they may be seeing things from a little bit of maybe a material point of view. I don't know if this is addressing your question or answering your question. Go ahead, Prabhu.
Not really. It's quite understandable that Vaishnavism should be and willing to do anything and everything that's authorized by Guru, Shastra, Sadhu, Krishna. I'm speaking more from the broader Varnashram perspective. In other words, my real question is, should this fluidity be allowed? It seems on the one hand that you don't want to be too rigid and you want to put these caste systems where people think everything is by birth. I'm born in a Brahmin family, therefore a Brahmana, and you know, don't tell me to do anything else. But on the other hand, how much fluidity can you allow? In other words, can somebody who's been trained already as a Vaishya, let's say, just wake up one day and decide, I want to be a Brahmana, you know, and then it seems you would wind up with chaos if there's too much fluidity. That somebody who's a Vaishya now wants to be a Brahmana, somebody who's a Kshatriya wants to come down to a Vaishya, you know. It just seems that there has to be, on the one hand, some degree of strictness and you keep your place, but on the other hand, it can't be so strict that you wind up with a caste system where people think that it's by birth.
Right, exactly. And so that's where, when we speak in terms of, you know, what good will repression accomplish, you know, if we have a particular type of a nature, we should be engaged according to that nature. But there's certainly, you know, we see that there are, you know, there are like devotees in our movement. We see here that, you know, somebody, there can be changes. There can be, you know, changes in what people do, which may be from another, you know, Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra. Vasprabhu, I see you want to make a comment, sir.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say, I was thinking when you said that according to one's nature, I find out there's a lot of people have a nature that like to tell everybody what to do. So does that mean that they're automatically in that position as an authority because they like to tell somebody what to do? You know, I mean, sometimes you see the boys walking, why don't you do that? Hey, well, I got a good idea for you. Why don't you do that? You know, so sometimes people think that that's their nature. So are you referring to that? And when you say nature, if someone has a nature just to be telling people what to do?
That is what?
I'm being a little bit sarcastic, obviously.
No, but Prabhu, on a serious note, you know, that somebody is in that, somebody plays that role. Now, here in New Dwarka, there's different roles, and you know, Bhakta Vatsal Prabhu, he's instructing the Bhaktas on what to do, the new devotees on what to do. Bhrigupati Prabhu, he's instructing and telling new, you know, Sankirtan devotees what to do. You are telling people what to do. You are instructing. Yeah. Krishna is giving you the ability to instruct and to guide and encourage devotees in this community. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
Yes, Prabhu.
Well, what I'm trying to get to is that obviously everything takes training. In other words, just because, like Prabhupada says, if you're born in a family with the father's a high court judge, doesn't mean that you're going to be a judge, because he is. What it really means is that if you're a judge, you train your child how to become a judge, or how to become a brahmana, how to become a kshatriya. There should be training. So in Krishna consciousness, we're all sudras, if not lower than that.
Mm.
You know, before we came, we were malechas, unbelievers, meat eaters, all kinds of stuff. The only reason that we're considered like brahmanas is because there was some training according to the instruction given to us by the acharyas, the previous acharyas. And Prabhupada set down a system of how to become a particular person in Krishna consciousness. Now, brahminical qualifications are very important in Krishna consciousness, but the difference is that we become Vaishnavas. In other words, we shouldn't think that because I'm a Vaishnava, I don't have to have brahminical qualities because that's lower. No. We should develop brahminical qualities of austerity, truthfulness, sacrifice, to po divyam. We should perform sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices. And that is the Brahminical culture. And then from that you become a Vaishnava by being Tarnara Pisa Nichena, Torora Pisa Hishnuna. You develop all those qualities. So my point is that there has to be training. You can't just come in here and think you're whatever. The last thing anybody wants to become here when you come into temple is a sudra. you get very few people going to join. Okay, you're a sudra right now. We're going to train you to be. You know, in other words, you can't get too caught up in all that stuff. It's about developing qualifications. The system is there. We need to follow that system and then train others that particular system.
Great point. Thank you very much. I know, Mataji, you wanted to say something. So if you can... Oh, he did. Okay. So we'll go just for another couple of minutes, Prabhu. Yes, please.
Thank you, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Check. I just like to refer to Achyuta Das's Prabhu question of too much fluidity. I think there's no way too much fluidity. I think by Krishna's arrangement and by the Acharya and founders, Srila Prabhupada, we all, no matter what class we're in, we can distribute books. And Srila Prabhupada said that if we want to make him happy, just because he's not here physically on the earth, we can still make him happy distributing books. I speak with the sutras that do work here, and they tell me that they understand that their food, all the food is poison that they eat, so they know that there's something going on in the society that's not right. I mean, any satriya who's administering, I'm sure, could easily have a couple of books, so to say, up his sleeve, wherever he is, whatever he's doing, he can pass a book on and say, hey, well, this is my guru's work of his lifetime, and I'm continuing on his pursuits. So I think this is the cause of the movement, is to continue the work of Srila Prabhupada, who spent, 40 years getting ready. I think we can spend a couple 40s, if not a couple 50s, to continue his contribution to humanity. Can't get too fluid. That's the dynamics of life. If you have a book with you wherever you go, you're fulfilling your master's and guru's wishes.
Yes. Jai, thank you very much. Thanks everyone for attending the class today. And I hope you all have a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. Jai, thank you, Prabhu.
Some of the classes are kind of a little scientific.